Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I gotta check out everything now. I want to make sure that the microphone, the audio is working correctly. Because it's such a bad way to start off a show when the audio is messed up. You never want to start a show that way. But welcome. Welcome to the Tuttle Daily Podcast, Tuesday edition. Kind of light in here right now. Hey, what's up? Clean Late Rich? Clean's Late Rich. I mean, that is a new name. Clean Late Rich. Well, welcome, Clean Late Rich. If you're in the chat room right now and you're listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast live stream, help me out. You know, I ask a lot of you guys to donate, help out financially by super chatting, or if you're on Twitch, whatever it may be. And if you don't want to donate financially, you want to know what is more valuable. I mean, money is nice, don't get me wrong. But the thing is that you guys just telling one friend, because I started this podcast at the beginning of the pandemic. Oh, it's Big Dick Rich. Big Dick Rich, my producer Vulture. See, that's the thing about it. Like, I'm such good friends with Richie, and my producer Vulture was able to help me get insurance. He did all the legwork. He did all of that for me. And the last time I hung out with Colton, it was the first weekend of bike week. I had to give him a ride back. And I told Big Dick Rich, I was like, Big Dick Rich, like, I got insurance finally. I mean, I'm having to pay. I mean, aren't we all paying for health insurance? And he was like, hey, man, look, I mean, it would really help me out if you could give me that info. He wasn't asking me to do the legwork. He was looking for me to get that paperwork for him. And Vulture is definitely, I'm going to get that for you today, Big Dick Rich. Oh, Vulture is the best. I mean, he's the nicest guy in the world. See, it's dichotomy when it comes to people like that. Because Vulture is one of the nicest guys in the world. But you got to realize what he did for a living. He was a Marine. Iggy T. Iggy T. Iggy T. Hey, hey. How was Pilates last night, Iggy T? Oh, I just closed my ring. I mean, see, that's where Apple gets us. They get us into this thing where we're controlled by Apple Watches now to be able to tell us what we need to do and how much more we need to move. I wanted to talk about this a little bit. And I don't have a lot of people in here tonight. I don't know what the problem is with that. Maybe people are just getting tired of my bullshit and stuff. But I don't know. How many of you guys heard that weird-ass caller last night that called in at the end of the show? It just seemed really, really off to me. Because the guy was being very vague. And that's the thing about it. I work in radio where, like, when you're usually talking to people, it's like you're hearing their voice. You're hearing their voice. And I could just tell that the guy was just not all there. I know, Iggy T. I say a lot of stuff. I do. I don't know. See, and now, I mean, this is where it's going to come into play, that I'm such a people pleaser that I'm going to do the show at 7 p.m. tomorrow just so Iggy T does not think that I'm a liar or I'm slacking and stuff. And that has a lot to do with the interview, the conversation that I got coming up later in the show. Timothy's from Boston. He's got a podcast. And the thing about it is there's a lot of eerily similarities when it comes to me and him, because he is a survivor of suicide. And it was kind of weird, and we had a great connection, and I'm going to be playing that interview later today. But back to what I was saying before, that caller that called in later in the show, it was just a little weird. And I actually moved on from the phone call, and I pretty much ended the show right after it. But later on, maybe like an hour, maybe 2 hours after I got done with the show, Fozzie ended up texting me and was like, "Hey, that last creepy caller that you had is Bubba's stalker." Bubba's had a lot of stalkers as of late, but this last one, man, he just makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. Because I've seen the YouTube videos and stuff. And I don't want anybody to think what I'm about to say is a dig at Bubba. It's just, I don't listen to the show anymore. Because I get up early in the morning. And I eat, I have my coffee. I like chug down my glass of water. And I get my working out done. Like, I go on my walk / run, which is about 5 miles. Then I come back and eat. But it just, like, last night when I got that text, I was like, oh, man, you know, I've worked with Bubba for quite some time. I've worked with a lot of radio hosts, and they jump to conclusions. A lot of radio hosts are paranoid. They think everybody is out to get them, and that's not the case. But as soon as Fozzie texted that to me, I had a horrible night of sleeping. And I just gave up. And then at 4 a.m., I decided to get up. I was going to send Blitz an email just saying, "Hey, Fozzie texted me," because I don't listen to the show because I'm just busy. That's why I was talking about getting up early. See, I kind of squirreled myself there. But I get all that stuff done, so I don't have a lot of time to listen to Bubba's show. Bubba's still putting on a great product and stuff. I just don't listen to it. And when Fozzie told me that was a stalker, I was like, the first thing that jumped into my mind was, oh, crap, Bubba's going to think that I had that guy call into my show to start stuff. And that was not the case at all. I promise you that. Because the reason why I'm oversensitive and I want to make sure that people don't take it as me being a dick because a stalker called into my show and stuff was because I was a complete asshole all the other times I got let go or I was fired from Bubba's show. So I don't want anything to get twisted. So I ended up emailing Blitz saying, "Hey, the guy that I think is Bubba stalker. I couldn't recognize his voice or anything." Fozzie texted me and said, "Hey, that's Bubba stalker." Now Fozzie is a supermark, and he listens to the show all the time. So if Fozzie says that is Bubba stalker, then I took his word for it. So I got up at like 4:15, in between 4:15 and 4:30. I sent an email. I sent an email to Blitz. "Hey, just wanted to let you know that I think Bubba Stalker called into my show towards the end. And I didn't want you guys to think that I had the guy on my show to like be a dick or an a-hole towards Bubba. No, that wasn't it. Because isn't that sad though? In the radio business, that you got to cover your ass like that. And I had to. So I emailed Blitz telling him, I even sent him the phone number that called, because I've always talked about that. I am not going to dox anybody. I'm not going to give out numbers if you call in and stuff. But like, if you're the guy that truly is stalking Bubba and you're calling into my show, of course I'm going to pass that info along to Bubba just to help them out. What up, Mark? So I did that, and I sent it to Blitz. I gave up sending stuff to Bubba. And once again, see, this is why I gotta, it sucks that I gotta cover my ass on this stuff, because radio listeners, supporters, people that listen to podcasts and stuff, they love to get stuff stirred up between other shows that they listen to. And I'm not saying it, but Bubba doesn't reply to my stuff. He just doesn't. And it's not because he's a bad guy or he's a dick. It's because he's just a busy man. But I sent that email to Blitz. And just trying to be nice. And also, I was kind of, you know, covering my own ass. I wanted to let them know, hey, I had nothing to do with this guy calling in. I had no idea who he was. Keybone, how are you, buddy? Been pretty busy. I know that you're watching the show at later dates and stuff, but I'm glad that you're here during the live version of it. But I sent all that information to Blitz. I didn't get anything back. I didn't get anything back at all. Now, I know that I should not look into it, but like, I know that they're mad at me. And I talked to Lummix. I talked to Lummix the same day that the scumbag stalker of Bubba's ended up calling in. I was just wanting to check in with him. I was like, hey, I even asked him. Then I was like, hey, nobody's mad at me at the BRN. I want to make sure I'm on solid footing with everybody there. He's like, no, man, you're good. You're good. And we caught up. Not once did I mention, hey, what do I got to do to get back on the BRN? No, I was just calling to visit with Lummix. And I know that I should not be offended, but like, I didn't get anything back. I was trying to be the better guy. I was trying to cover my ass. Plus, I thought that info may help them out when it comes to a case against this guy that's a stalker and stuff. I gave him the number. Now, I mean, Fozzie could have been wrong. Maybe that's why Blitz did not get back with me. Maybe he was busy and he was like, oh, I don't have time. I don't have any spare time to waste my time by replying to Tuttle's crazy-ass email. So, I'm not really worried about that guy coming and messing with me. Matter of fact, I kind of wish he would. I'm not telling him to come to my house. I'm not trying to entrap him so I could take, care of him. No, that's not it. Just saying. I'm one of those people that know how to protect my place and stuff. So, really not that worried about it. My dad's not around anymore, and I got to take care of my mom. One last thing before I get into the interview that I did with Timothy from Boston. It's a really good interview. I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. I was listening to Real Radio 104.1 here in Orlando. And I listened to traffic. And what I mean by traffic is the traffic reporters. And you probably think that the traffic reporter is working for that station and that station only. No, you're wrong. For the longest time, they used to have Metro Traffic in Orlando that covered Metro Orlando radio stations, all of them. And then Clear Channel at the time, which is now iHeartRadio, decided that we're gonna create our own traffic company so we can sell advertisement on it and make more money. And was smarter in their point. And, you know, they do a lot of voice tracking. So if you think that somebody is doing the traffic on a local radio station and you think that, oh, man, this is a great local traffic report. No, probably in a different city. Most likely in the same state. But I was listening to a traffic report last week that was on Real Radio 104.1. I heard a very familiar voice. Back to having a trained ear and working in radio and just being able to recognize voices and be able to figure out what's wrong with the sound. Joey fucking Logano is doing traffic, I think, for iHeartRadio. And good for him. I'm extremely happy. And the reason that I know that it was Stone Joey Logano, I know his real name. And he said it, and I texted him. And Joey's been very weird lately. Like, he won't text you back or answer your questions straightforward. He just sends emojis. I was like, hey, you doing traffic now? I think I heard you on my old radio station, Real Radio 104.1. He just sent me the emoji with the two wide-open eyes looking to the right. And I was like, okay, he's not going to give me anything. He's not going to give me anything at all. But if it is Joey Logano, oh, also the other thing about it, like I thought him and Lummix was still on good terms. Like I didn't know. Maybe I heard about it and I just forgot about it because, you gotta remember, I haven't been with the BRN since September of 2019. And it just really, really, I don't know. I don't talk to a lot of the people there anymore. And hold on, where the hell is this video at? I'm sorry. I tried to be slick. I tried to be able to, like, fill time, and I couldn't do it. I've been doing this for way too long, and I could not even get that right. Holy crap. Maybe that's why I haven't been at radio since 2019. And my hair looked really, really good earlier when I did this interview. Anyways, my interview with Timothy from Boston. And I enjoyed it. I didn't want it to get too serious because he has survived a suicide attempt. Just like myself, but we kept it lighthearted and kind of talked about some pretty cool stuff. So this is my interview with Timothy McCarthy from Boston. Pick up on accents, and I try to. You said definitely Northeast, right?
Correct.
Okay, Boston or New England area?
Nailed it, Boston.
Oh, how was St. Patrick's Day? Are you one of those people? Like, okay, so the regular people call New Year's Eve amateur hour, like, yep, amateur night, because nobody, if you're a real partier, you don't go out on New Year's Eve because, you know, that's where everybody is. Now, St. Patrick's Day, if you're a true Bostonian, like, do you guys go to the St. Patrick's Day parade, or are you guys like, ah, man, that's just for a bunch of tourists?
It's that good accent.
It was horrible. I sounded like I had a lisp.
It is definitely a tourist because it's like Boston, Chicago, Savannah, Georgia are huge. I think the parade is good for like
Georgia.
It's good for like ages like 16 to like 25. I'm 36 now, so I would just rather go to a bar and just drink. The bar guy. My St. Patrick's Day was kind of bunk because over here on St. Patrick's Day,
this is the first year since the pandemic that they've actually had the parade.
Yes, that's correct.
Man. It's like, do you ever see like Matt Damon or any of the Affleck brothers out there or, you know, hanging out? No.
No, I see the one of the Wahlberg brothers, the one that they keep in the kitchen. They keep him in the kitchen with the Wahlberg's restaurant. They're like, you cook for us.
All right. So, Tim, before we get into the interview, because I know that I'm asking a lot of hack, lame ass Boston questions and stuff. But before we get into the rest of the interview, tell my audience a little bit about yourself, how they can find you on social media, and check out the podcast that you do.
Yeah, for sure. Again, my name's Tim McCarthy. I host the podcast 20 Tim Minutes. It's a podcast that focuses on mental health through humor, insight, and personal stories. Reason I started the podcast is I tried to kill myself in 2019 on May 5th.
Wait. When? 2019?
Mine
was in September of 2019.
No shit.
Yeah, I'm not trying to steal your thunder and stuff. And no. It was dumb, but, you know, but go ahead and finish with your plugs and stuff because, you know, like, I feel like it's something that needs to be talked about. People don't talk about it because it's one of those things that's it's kind of depressing and stuff. But I really think that the reason, you know what, here, let's finish your plugs and stuff and I'll get into that. Cause I want to hear about your stuff first.
Yeah, for sure. So it was May 5th, 2019, which I like to dub now Cinco de Hango. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I wanted to get back in the podcasting game, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. Another bald guy with a beard talking into a microphone about movies. It's like, I don't want to do that.
That's why you're wearing the hat then. Like,
yeah, exactly. I'm promoting my stuff here. So the reason it's called 20 Tim Minutes is because of my ADHD. I can only talk for so long by myself unless I have somebody to talk to.
I have that as well, too, but I talk to myself all the time. I don't need people around. Oh, man. All right. So you started this podcast and, you know, like people have a short attention span and, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you talk about a whole bunch of different stuff, but you also like to touch on the main reason why you did the podcast. Do you feel comfortable talking about that day? Like, can we talk about what you were diagnosed with leading up? Were you going to a psychiatrist or a therapist? What kind of meds were you on? If you don't feel comfortable talking about any of this stuff, please let me know.
No, I'm an open book now. It's funny because I was on an interview with the Waffle Shop podcast, a mental health podcast, and he's like, you're the only person I've ever interviewed that has talked openly about what medication they take.
I've always done that. Because there's so many eye-opening experiences that I had, and I think one of the main problems we have in this country, and I'm not saying that medication does not work for people, it does. But I also feel like the lobbyists and the drug companies that are giving bonuses to doctors and all that stuff to just prescribe pills, it's not about treating the core issue anymore. It's about what kind of pills can we throw down these people's throats?
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much what's happening to me right now. So I saw therapists off and on. There was like a lot of them were bunk. Like I saw one that like was in like a house on like a farm.
Bunk on a farm. Yeah, there we go. You go to Dunk's today? Did you go to Dunk's today to get some, some coffee?
Some donkeys, kid. That's how I say it.
Donkeys, kid.
So this you go.
No. So like you were seeing a therapist and stuff. Now, let me ask you, I know here in the South, but you know what though? There are so many regional differences between people. Growing up in the South, like if you were depressed or you were having mental issues or had ADHD and stuff, you couldn't go to your parents for that. And it's not that your parents did not care. It's just the way that they were raised because growing up, my dad wasn't a dick about it, but it was like, hey, you know, I'm depressed. I'm not feeling good. And it was just like, what do you got to be depressed about? You ain't got to pay bills. You just got to go to school and be happy, you know? And I think that's kind of changing. Is that something you had to deal with up in Boston as well too? Because Bostonian, especially men, are trying to be tough.
Yeah. It's definitely like the man up era when I was younger and 36 now. And I had to deal with that. It's like, you didn't want to show it to your friends. It's like parents didn't understand like how to deal with it. Cause you're that's that a great age. Song.
Will Smith. Yeah. Yeah. Parents just don't understand. But are Boston dads tough? Like, you know, they're proud of their boys and stuff, you know, like, you know, no, like, you know, Northern or Boston guy, because like I've seen a lot of movies and, you know, movies, they Hollywood stuff up and everything. But you, I mean, you look at Good Will Hunting, the guy was wicked smart and he would beat the shit out of people and stuff, you know?
I'm like a self-loathing Bostonian. It's like, I get it so much and I've seen it all that like, sometimes I try to dial back my accent, but then it just like seeps out and I'm like, oh yeah. That's why you never hear like porn stars be from Boston.
Oh, I would love a Bostonian chick talking in that, like, you know, give it to me, you know, you know, just like, hey, it would be so great to hear, because I don't know, like a really hot Bostonian chick talking in that accent, I wouldn't care. Matter of fact, it would probably be great for me.
Yeah, no, the accents are a hit when you go outside of the New England area. People love it.
Well, I mean, look, any British guy that comes here to the United States, they're like right out the boat. They've already got an advantage out of all of us with the accent and stuff. And I've even noticed it, like a lot of guys, when I went up to like New York area for the first time, they heard me talk and they were like, why are you dumb? Why are you talking so slow, man? And the women loved it though. The women loved it.
Yeah, no, I definitely use it to my advantage when I can.
So what were you diagnosed with? Like when you were going to the psychiatrist, the doctor and stuff?
Yeah, so fast forward through all like the meds and all that. When I finally got diagnosed, I was diagnosed with bipolar 2, ADHD, and general anxiety. Yeah,
I had the ADHD, bipolar, manic depressive. Like I was like up and down. Like I was nowhere in the middle.
Yeah, it's not fun with the ADHD on top of it too. It's like I can't pay attention, but I'm also like very angry at times, and it's tough to manage. You obviously know how it is too.
What were the meds that they put you on? I'll give you mine. Mine was Zoloft, Xanax, Risperidol, and my Adderall. Yeah, it was like I was doing white trash speedballs. It was like I was taking the uppers and the downers with the Adderall and the Xanax.
I had to be taken off Xanax because I was abusing them. So right now I'm on.
You mean the footballs or the bars?
The bars, guy.
The bars.
So, yeah, I'm on Adderall XR 50 milligrams.
I hate the XRs. I need it now, man.
Yeah, I know. And then I have the Abilify, which I just
put on. What is that for?
I guess it's for like people that are schizophrenic, but it also treats people that are bipolar. Mm-hmm. I just got on it. I'm on Wellbutrin, which is like usually used for seasonal depression. And it actually helps people not smoke, but I've never smoked in my life. And then I'm on Lamictal, which is a mood stabilizer. So I'm on a whole cocktail of stuff.
My Risperidol was a mood stabilizer. It didn't let me get up or two up or two down. Now, I didn't realize this when I was on it because, you know, like I thought I was just concentrating on my work right after my divorce and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, man, you're being responsible. You're being a working guy. You're concentrating on your career and stuff. That's why you're now out there chasing women and getting drunk and all that stuff. And it wasn't, because those pills killed my sex drive, man. Like it.
We're the same person.
No. So like, and you don't even realize it. Like I wasn't even masturbating hardly. And after I got off them, I was like a teenage boy again. Like I got off of all of them when I spent the time in the hospital. I spent 11 days in a hospital after I tried to hang myself with a ceiling fan or from a ceiling fan. Luckily, it ripped out of the top of the roof and stuff. You know, when you're in the moment stuff, you're not thinking in your right mind. And maybe it's a good thing because maybe that's why there's failed suicides and stuff, because you're not in the right mind. You're not able to do certain tasks because you're only fixated on making the pain go away at the time. But have you like noticed, has that been something? Because that's a lot of something that people deal with, because it's a revolving and it's a snowball effect, because you know, you have these sexual encounters or you're wondering why you're not able to, because it's killing your sex drive. How have you been able to handle that?
It's tough. I call that Play-Doh pants when you can't get an erection. So that's like you just got to keep rubbing it to get it going. Well,
if you can get one, it makes you seem like the man, because you will never get to completion. It was like the first time I ever took ecstasy. I couldn't even like finish.
Definitely gets in your head for sure. If you remember it, like, before you go into it, you're like, oh shit, it's like
it does,
like, it's gonna be bad. So you get in your own head about that, and that's just like another on on top of it.
Was it a long progression? Because I know when I tried to harm myself, I thought never I would ever, ever like think about that or even attempt it. But it was that morning when I woke up, I didn't feel right. And when I explained this to people, it was like I was an empty vessel. It was like I was a shell. Like I just felt empty. Like I felt completely empty. And the thing that really made me freak out was when I went into the bathroom to put some cold water on my face. And I looked in the mirror. I didn't even recognize myself. And like I said, I was just in a hurry. I saw the sheet. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And luckily, you know, they had shitty construction in the house and stuff. And it saved my life.
That's awesome.
Was that a progressive thing or was it just a spur of the moment thing?
Oh, it was definitely progressive. It was going on from like middle of 2018, the summer. And it was just like every day just got worse and worse. I had this huge
breakup, a loss.
Anything? I was going through, that's funny. Cause I said we're the same person. I'm actually currently going through a divorce. So that was like a big thing. And I'm still going through it. And
wow, right about the same age that I did.
Yeah. Yeah. She's very and so my wife,
I'm 42.
All right. You look like you're 41 though.
41. Bought it. Yeah. But, no. So yeah, it was 2014. So that, yeah, it would have been around that same time.
Wow. Yeah. We were meant to be, man.
Well, I mean, we don't have to say, don't say gay bill here in Florida. I don't know. Are you guys more accepting up in Boston? And
oh
stuff?
Yeah. I think we were the first state to had one of the first legalized marriages.
Well, you know what's funny now is that, see, this just shows you how the politicians only care about money. Now, the big employment in Central Florida is the theme parks, you know, Disney and Universal, and a lot of the gay community work at those places, working as characters and servers and stuff like that. People don't realize Central Florida's got a big LGBTQT community here. And they're supposed to be doing a walkout today here and on all the Disney properties. And I guarantee you that bill goes away pretty quickly because Disney is going to support, you know, they're going to do whatever they can to get their employees.
Yeah. Disney's not going to mess around with that at all.
No, they're not. So the divorce, like how long were you guys married for?
We've been married since 2015. We haven't been divorced fully yet. We're just getting things in order. But yeah, since 2015.
Man, I don't think you realize how much it's eerily like I got divorced in. Well, I didn't get divorced. My wife went up to her sister's baby shower. And while she was up north in New Jersey, she was in Tom's River. I just packed up my stuff and left. And it wasn't until like 3 or 4 years later until we got everything finalized because, you know, with the ADHD thing, people don't realize this is that you'll have these big tasks that you know needs to be done, but you will put that off. You will put that shit off until the very last minute.
Yep. That's how my podcast works.
Yeah. I mean, I just had to write a lot more notes and stuff, but why did you, I mean, you don't mind me asking, like what happened?
Between me and her, we had different work schedules. We're better off friends. Like I still love her. It just like a lot of like the affectionate stuff kind of just disappeared. She's a beautiful woman. It just like, I feel like our connection just kind of drifted.
I definitely outkicked my coverage as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, always the case. Like we did, we both tried really hard. It was just one of those things, like we're still young and it's like, do we want to just keep doing this while we can't fix it? So it was kind of a mutual thing more. I think it was like 60-40 me. Mm-hmm. But no, she's still like my best friend and it's good that it's amicable and everything. Like I couldn't ask for a better ex-wife.
So, well, not ex-wife yet. You
know, yeah. Separated.
No, you gotta get used to saying that. Cause I used to do that same thing all the time.
Yeah.
So the day that you did it, can you walk me through you're okay with that?
Yeah. From what I remember, I think that's when I was taking too much Xanax. And I remember the Adam Sandler documentary thing that he did. Not the documentary, the live show. Have you seen that on Netflix?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he does the Chris Farley thing at the end. Mm-hmm. I remember just like crying about that because I loved Chris Farley. I love friendship. I love all that. So then I remember looking at the date and I was just like, oh, I was like, okay. And I like went and walked by my dog, Charles Barkley, and I waved at him. And I was just like,
wait, did you say Barkley, like as in Barkley or just Charles Barkley?
Charles Barkley.
Oh, there we go. I got
you. You know what I mean? Charles Barkley. So I waved to him and I remember just being like so disconnected that like I had an out of body experience where it's like, I didn't really, but I felt like I was in the movie Get Out where I like without the racism where I was in the back seat of my own body and I could see myself walking. It was like in the last row of a movie theater.
Yeah.
So I go upstairs and I train jujitsu and I just earned my blue belt. I had so much positivity in my life.
Didn't try to hang yourself with your blue belt, did you?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, it was going to be right on the banister. So what happened when I was there, my cat, Lucille, like came up to me. Like I stood there and just cried.
Are you a Walking Dead fan? Are you a Walking Dead fan?
I was for a little bit. Okay. I didn't make it up to him.
Lucille, I didn't know, like maybe you called your cat Lucille after his bat.
You're going to love this. I named her Lucille because of the Little Richard song, Lucille.
Okay. I got you.
Good fact. So I remember just being like so like just like broken and sad, and my cat came up and like nudged me while I was sitting there. Because it's like,
you know, that cat would have ate you ate your fingers and stuff if you would have died.
People like, forget that.
Showing you affection and stuff, that cat, if you would have been successful, and I'm not trying to be insensitive, but you gotta laugh at the situation. That cat would have ate your fingers off.
People forget that. Like the podcast, my little taglines, break the stigma, crack a smile. So she bumped into me and I kind of just like woke up and I realized she didn't have her food. So like I started thinking about her instead and I cried more. Man. So like I like got up, did that. And then like you always get like that phone call from somebody. And I forgot that May 5th is my brother's birthday. So I would have killed myself on my brother's birthday, but I didn't know. So I was such in a different funk.
You know, a lot of people, I don't know how to feel in the situation. A lot of people say suicide is a selfish thing. And I could see where people that were left behind would see that. Mm-hmm. I remember the one thing that, you know, because my mom was like, dude, do you realize that what that would have done to us? And she didn't say it in a way where it was like trying to make me feel bad about it.
Right.
You know? And luckily I was not successful because I took time. Well, I didn't take time. I got fired from radio because not only because I was working on a very nationally syndicated radio show at the time in Tampa. And after my failed suicide attempt, I went in and worked. I went in and worked an hour later because I did this at like 3:45 in the morning. And I talked about it on the radio. And I'm glad that I did because there were two reasons. I was in my head and I was like, man, you just went through a bad thing. And I talked about it. I was like, maybe there's just one person out there in the audience that is going through something right now. And I thought it might be able to help. And the other reason, selfishly, I wanted to hold myself accountable. I wanted people to know what I tried to do because I was afraid I might try it again.
I did the same exact thing where I only had a select few that knew what happened. And I was like too nervous to talk to people about it. So I just did an episode on it. And at the end I go, no one bring it up when they see me, just send me a photo of a wrestler. So I got all these texts of like different wrestlers of like people supporting that way, because I don't do good with like confrontation, even if it's like very little or like tough conversation. Oh my
God. It's a big turn on for me.
I fold like a beach chair.
I love it. I love it. Now after, did you get Baker acted after your thing or no?
Say again?
Did you get Baker acted after?
No, I didn't know.
See, I did because, yeah. You know, I mean, it's, and look, I don't want anybody to think I'm mad at my boss. Matter of fact, you probably saved my life, but I ended up, getting Baker acted. I was only supposed to be in there for like a 48 hour hold or whatever. And then, you know, after 48 hours, I was ready to get out of there.
Yeah,
I bet. How having ADHD or ADD, you need stimulant. You need that dopamine release. You you cannot sit in silence. You cannot just sit and not have anything done. I was in there for 11 days. Felt like 2 months. Like seriously, because it was on a floor. It was a complete floor by itself. About the size, a little bigger than a football field. There was only one window in the whole building that you could look out at, and that was towards the west, so you could see the sunset. No clocks or nothing. And it seemed like it crawled. And you know how it is. Like I said, with the ADHD, that is the worst thing you could pit somebody with extreme ADHD and just pit them for 11 days.
I had like a cry for help. I would always make like atomic jokes. And there was a chat I had with like a couple of coworkers, and one like was like, it raised a red flag to him. So for the job I have, I don't really like to talk about what I do for work, but they were like, you either come and talk to this specialist right now.
You're a groundsman at Fenway Park, aren't you?
Like, yeah.
You manicure the grass and lay down new clay.
I'm the Tom Brady of throwing peanuts. I can hit it like just way in the back. You know what I mean? So it was either like a choice probably for that. And they're like, we're going to come and get you, or you're going to come meet us and talk with us and explain what's going on. And then my wife was the first one I called, and I told her.
So you did this when you were married.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't write nothing down. And then like, I was just like, it was just like a spur. It was a spur of the moment. Cause I always thought about it. My ideations are still today, this day. I walk down the street and I go, hopefully a piano just drops on my head today. Like, you know what I mean?
I know this might be an insensitive comment, but like, you know, I thought about this and I was caught up in the moment, but back to being on all the medication, not being able to have any sex drive.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to hang yourself and kill yourself, why don't you go out masturbate, doing that auto asphyxiation type deal?
Yeah.
You know, because everybody would talk about it. Like, man, did you hear about Tim, man? Yeah. Well, fuck. He went out masturbating. And you know, people would be like, man, he was just a sex freak. He wanted to get one off and he just accidentally killed himself instead of, you know, it was like, man, he just was so depressed. He killed himself.
And it happens by mistake all the time.
Yeah. David Carradine from the Kill Bill movie. Yeah. And then there's a couple of musicians as well too. Eric Hutchins, I think, did it as well too, from like one of those 80 bands and stuff. Now, have you ever, like, from your podcast talking about this stuff, have you had anybody reach out to you? And say, hey, you help me out. And there's a couple of questions here that I got. Yeah. Any trauma growing up in your life and any substance abuse problems? Because that's something that I found when I was in the hospital. A lot of the people with the mental issues were self-medicating. Like, I'm not looking down on them as just being dirty drug addicts and stuff. Because back to what I was saying, a lot of people are not comfortable talking about the problems that they're having because they're just going to be told, oh, what do you get to be depressed about? And people self-medicate. They go to alcohol and drugs.
For me, no. I didn't really have any trauma. I smoked like weed in high school and stuff. I actually had like a great childhood growing up. Like it was just my mom and my three siblings. I forgot about one of them. And I hated getting older. I was such like that guy that peaked in high school and like everything went away. And it was like, I feel like I wasn't advanced as everybody else. The biggest lie I've ever told myself is I don't care what other people think. And I always did. And I always compared myself to other people. People like, oh, they bought a house. I need to buy a house. Like what's going on?
People get caught up in that stuff so much. And
yeah,
you can't be comparing yourself to other people's successes because happiness and successfulness is all just in the eye of the beholder. Like if you're happy doing what you do and stuff, then it really shouldn't matter. Like, and it sucks that we're in that kind of society where like we do care, you know. I don't know where that all began and stuff, but like you should just be caring about yourself. And it's easier said than done to say, stop worrying about what other people do. Are you happy? Yeah. You got to be grateful for the things, you know. One of the things that when I was in the hospital, it's like, do you realize the odds of you being born as a human being? It's one in like 4 trillion. It's some insane like number. Like think of all the things that had to happen. Your mom and dad had to meet on a certain time. Okay. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
They could have easily not met each other. Then think about this. They met each other. I always talk about this. Sperm hold the same like cognitive thought, or is each sperm like a little soul? You see what I'm saying? So you gotta remember, 100%. You and other million souls coming out of your dad's balls, you were the lucky one to make it to the egg first. So that stacks up on top of all the other odds. And then think, your grandparents, two sets of grandparents all had to meet up at the right time. It just, it that's why the odds are so high for you as a human being to be born.
It's at like it's like Black Friday, getting in yes. first and getting the PlayStation 5.
Yes, you're the one sperm it did not get trampled trying to get a big screen TV at Walmart, and people are just running over your dead, lifeless corpse while they're trying to get one.
I'm going to hit you with this real quick, and I've talked about this once quickly on an episode, so I'm going to give you this when you're talking about like the mom and dad. So 2 days or a couple of days after my attempt, my mom was coming over and she wanted to talk to me. I was like, oh, what's wrong? So long story longer, I took an ancestry test and found out I had a different dad.
Oh, see, yeah. I had that stuff done as well, too. I mean, we need to talk about that because I had a DNA. Her name's Christina Bryan Fitzgibbon. She goes by the DNA sleuth. And my dad just passed away last year. And when, you know, because he was starting to lose his mind a little bit, I wanted to do one of those so he could see, you know, the history line and stuff. And I found out so much, but I've been watching the show Peaky Blinders. You watch Peaky Blinders at all?
I don't watch anything, but I know what it is.
Yeah, so I was looking. The Peaky Blinders, the Shelby family, is based off a family in Birmingham, United Kingdom, with my last name, Fowler. And I got her working on that as well, too, because they all have similar first names. And I talked about this yesterday. Guys, they have such big egos that not only like they want to have a son to pass on the family name, but we're also going to name him like my dad's name or my name or my grandfather's name. It's just as guys, we just got big fucking egos like that.
Yeah, 100%.
Before we go, tell my audience once again how they can check out everything, when your podcast is available, when it comes out and stuff, and any social media.
Yeah, it's easy to spell. It's 20, the numerical 20, then Tim, T-I-M, and then the Innits. So there's no 20 Tim Minutes, only one M. So it flows in.
So you use the last name or Tim, which is M, going into Minutes. So yeah. So all right, guys, getting back in here. Want to thank Tim for coming on the show. Remove. You know, it sucks because... What the hell is up with this goddamn microphone now? Why? I only got four people watching. Because I made a little bit of an executive decision. Because right now, I've never been one of those guys that is going to, like, say things are good. I know that a lot of people come back and watch the show at a later date. That's the thing about on demand and stuff. I'm looking at my numbers. I got four people watching. And I just made an executive decision because Iggy brought it up. And it is right. I've been talking about this. I'm going to start experimenting. So I'm letting you know right now, tomorrow's show is going to be at 7 p.m. And I'm going to email Vulture to let him know. Matter of fact, let me check my calendar and see if I even have anything tomorrow. Because if I don't even have to worry about it. No, my schedule's clear. So tomorrow's show is going to be 7 p.m. And I'm just going to be up front. Thursday is going to be 8 p.m. Because I obviously what I'm doing right now is not working. And I'm not complaining, not being a bitch, I'm not throwing a temper tantrum or whatever. I'm just being upfront and honest. Because a lot of these other content creators, they're not going to be upfront and honest. And I'm better than this. I'm definitely better than that amount because, and the thing about it is that I don't have a big like ego. I don't have a big self opinion of myself. Come on, I'm better than this, and I'm gonna try that. See, but you know, you want me to be honest? The other thing that I'm thinking about is, what if I do? What if I go back to 7 tomorrow and then I try 8 on Thursday and the numbers aren't any better? I got paid from you guys. YouTube deposited the money that you guys from watching commercials and stuff on replays and super chatting and cheering bits, whatever you do on whatever platform you're using, that goes a long way. It helps me contribute. And I'll be honest with you, there's been times in the past 2 years that I have actually thought about giving up. Thought about not on life, please. See, that's the other thing. You know, once you've committed suicide or attempted suicide, that you got to be careful with your words, because people are like, oh my God, is he going to harm himself? No, I'm not. But it's like, what am I doing this for? Like, I could be out there. I could become just, and I don't look down on other people that do like regular 9-to-5 jobs. I don't. It's respectable. Matter of fact, I could go be a welder right now and make twice the money that I'm making right now. But for some reason, I'm a whore to broadcasting and podcasting and stuff. So that's why I'm going to try 7 tomorrow. I'm going to try 8. And you know what? I don't want to do it, but I'm going to have to do it. And it's not like I'm going to hate doing it, but I'm going to start doing shows on the weekends now. Because what I've learned from doing this content creating online, take a day off, forget about it, man. You're screwed. You are so screwed. So I'm not blaming anybody. Maybe I just suck. But also at the same time, I'm gonna try to mix it up. I'm going to try to do something different, try a different time slot. Maybe people will check it out. Who knows? But if it doesn't work, it's going to be a big kick in the balls. If you guys would like to contact me, if you're just joining the show, 407-270-3044. Call in 407-270-3044. If you don't want to be on the phone, you can leave me a comment in the chat room, or you can email me tuttle@gmail.com. Was it Memorial Day or Labor Day that they used to do the Jerry Lewis telethon? Because I used to watch that all the time. I loved it. I know that it sounds really, really nerdy. And I don't know why this clip is making the rounds. But I guess Jerry Lewis back in the day, and I absolutely have no problem with this at all. But I wouldn't say my good friend or even friend, but I've met him a couple of times. We follow each other on social media and stuff, but that's about it. But Billy Corbin did the documentary Cocaine Cowboys. He covers a lot of Miami and Florida man story related stuff. But I found this because of him. But Jerry Lewis back in the late 80s, I guess, you know, because they had a lot of cocaine coming in during the 80s. And Jerry Lewis basically put a plea out. Like, yo, drug dealers, I don't support what you're doing, but break me off a little bit. Matter of fact, if I'm being honest, I know that the government's trying to stop drug dealers and stuff, but why not like give drug dealers amnesty as a tax write-off? Well, they're not even paying taxes, so this is a dumb idea altogether. Can't we give some get out of jail free cards, not for like murder and stuff, but like say you get pulled over and you got a couple of kilos of cocaine on you, but you happen to donate about, I don't know, $5, maybe $10 million worth of donations to stop muscular dystrophy. That should account for something. And I think this is the biggest pimp swagger move that Jerry Lewis has ever done, because he begs the cocaine dealers to donate.
In the port of Miami, they're picking up $1 billion worth of cocaine.
It's a lot of money. I saw this thing. Pablo Escobar, back in the 80s and maybe even 90s, I don't know. The guy was making billions. And that's back when there was not a lot of billionaires. Oh, hey, I really appreciate that Catskills 20. Tuttle, you're doing a great job. Don't give up. This is your passion. It will come together. And that's the thing about it. Like, you know, I'm not one of those guys that needs all the fancy stuff. Like, if right now, especially after my dad passing away, for me to be able to, you know, help my mom out and be with her after my dad passing away, I think it's all worth it. You know, is it great for my dating life, sex life? No, it's not. I'm being upfront with you. It's a big killer. But, man, I just looked down. Jerry Lewis, look at this. Doesn't he look like he has a muscular dystrophy in this picture? Sorry, not trying to be rude. But I love doing this. I love doing this. I don't want anybody to think or take me kind of bitching a little bit. I'm just being upfront and honest. We all have insecurities and stuff. We all have doubt. We do. And I've always agreed that the best way to make a connection to your audience is just being brutally honest. Being honest, even though it may make you look bad. And I've always done that.
If I can get a child out of a wheelchair, I don't care where I get the money.
Do you realize that Jerry Lewis is trying to talk directly to drug dealers right now? And I'm sure back in the day, especially during the old Nancy Reagan thing, just say no to drugs. And Jerry Lewis, part of the Rat Pack, is like, I'm gonna ask these cocaine importing drug dealers that are in South Florida for some break me off.
So you big wheelers and dealers out there that are so high right about now anyhow.
See, that's where you mess up there, Jerry. I know Scarface, Al Pacino, got high on his own stash and stuff. But I mean, a lot of drug dealers, well, maybe the bosses, maybe the high-end ones are getting high on their stash. But for the most part, the guys that's running a crew in a city that's dealing drugs, those drug dealers are not getting high on it. It's bad business.
Ain't gonna miss getting on a phone and saying, yeah, why not?
What up, Kendall Hill? Kendall Hill 1, thank you for joining me.
Wouldn't you like to think that what you're doing might just eradicate?
Come on, listen, let's be honest. Jerry Lewis hung out with the Rat Pack. You know, him and Sammy Davis did some lines of cocaine back in the day, probably in a big sex orgy. Him and Jerry. Yeah, you know that it happened.
One of the most vicious, lecherous diseases on the face of the earth. I'm not condoning what you people do.
Because I've done it before.
But I sure as hell would love to share some of that loot with you.
Share some of that loot and some of those lines. And the thing is that how brilliant Jerry Lewis was, that even if anybody like said, oh, Jerry, you can't ask the drug dealers for money. Jerry had an out. He could easily just say, oh, it was a part of the bit. It's a part of the bit. I really was not asking cocaine dealers from Colombia to donate to get rid of muscular dystrophy. And I got to tell you that the sad thing is that if somebody did that, if somebody did that and a drug dealer did that, I really do think the DEA and a lot of the other, you know, three-letter words and stuff probably would be like, oh, yeah, I'm froze. What is going on here, man? Yeah, I cannot go a show. I can't go a show. I cannot go a show without any of this stuff going on. Man, like, no wonder people are not listening to this stuff. Whatever, man. I'm just going to play a couple of these last stories that I want to get into. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to have Brooke Bennett on. Brooke Bennett from the Tampa area. Gold medalist in the Olympics. Female swimmer. I've been trying to get her on to talk about this transgender swimmer up in the Ivy League that's swimming for Penn. And I know she had a swimming event over the weekend, so that's why I've not been, like, bugging her and stuff. You know, this is the other thing that really, really bugs me. The biggest, most valuable resource here in the state of Florida is water. It is. And I've never understood why the politicians don't do more to keep the water clean, because everybody comes here for the beaches and the water, the rivers, all that good stuff. And a lot of the economy has depends on tourism. Do you realize that Daytona Beach used to be one of the premier spots when it came to spring break? The older, see, you can't mix a lot of old people with young people. And I'm not talking about young people being here all the time. It is just old people don't want and can't handle having a bunch of young people and partiers in their town. Why can you not put up with a lot of rowdy partying for 2 weeks? Do the old people not realize all the money that it brings in? The old people killed spring break in Daytona. And it's moved around from different cities in Florida to other cities around the nation. But now there's a big problem and everybody's upset in Miami because there's so much violence and stuff. Is it because maybe the law enforcement is not prepared? They don't have enough employees to handle the amount of numbers that come into the city? Because the great thing about the money when it comes to tourism and Florida in general is that it's money from outside of Florida that is getting left here. It's getting left here. They're not taking it back. They're leaving it here. You know, a lot of people complain about the toll roads around Orlando. You got so... Orlando might have more toll roads than any major city in the state of Florida. And you know why they do that? Because they want the tourists to leave their money here in the state of Florida when they go back home to their other countries. And I'm telling you, the older retirees are going to run all that money out of Miami.
Calmer streets in Miami Beach after spring break madness.
It's gotten bad, though. I'm just being upfront. It's gotten really, really bad down there. You know how many news stories I've seen on this same strip of road in downtown Miami when stuff has just gone completely insane? Way too many times. So why? New York City, that's another major city here in the United States that once had the crime under control and law enforcement was handling their business. And now they're not doing it because New York is getting really, really bad. I mean, the couple of times I went up there was during and after Rudy Giuliani. And I know a lot of people hate Rudy, but Rudy did clean up the city. Do I agree with him supporting Trump and defending Trump as a lawyer? No, I don't. But Rudy handled business. Now it's just gotten bad again.
It's carried on from the weekend into early Monday morning.
We have to do something.
A total of 5 people shot and sent to the hospital. 2 separate.
Oof, I mean, all in one night, 5 people. That's bad.
Separate shootings along Ocean Drive. All this despite what the city called an unprecedented number of cops on the street. 9 officers also hurt, none of them extremely serious injuries.
Okay, well, why is the mayor, why is Ron DeSantis not getting more involved? You know, he's more concerned of giving fake championships to students that came in second place. And that's the thing about it. And when I mean that is Ron DeSantis had this big press conference, you know, proclaiming another swimmer the national championship, and she did get beat by a transgender woman. Now, I agree with DeSantis saying that women or transgender women should not be competing against other women. But that's where it ends. Do I think Ron DeSantis gives a crap about transgender swimmers or female swimmer? No, he doesn't. He's doing this because he is pandering to his election base, his supporter base. And that's what he's doing. He is running an upgraded version of the Trump playbook. And he is. And you know what? It's smart. I can't bitch at him about that. He doesn't give a damn. He's doing this because it's a hot button. It's a buzzword topic. And that's the only reason he's doing it.
Says the department.
Well, that was larger travel.
Over the last several weeks.
And I know that I went on a big rant there for no reason. But instead of paying attention about that, how about working on the crime?
Authorities taking more than 100.
I mean, look, all right. Tina Bacon. I used to get called that on Bubba's show. Tina Bacon's revenge. Well, he is a politician. And Tina, you're absolutely right. But when you preach from the mountaintop and say, oh, politicians don't give a damn about you, everybody thinks you're a conspiracy theorist or you're an anarchist or you just hate the government. Yeah, guess what? One of that three, I do. The government sucks. Both sides. They're all whores for the lobbyists. And that's not going to end for a really long time until we stand up.
100 guns off the streets.
Our city is well past its end point.
Now a state of emergency declaration coming down from city officials.
Going to implement a midnight curfew.
A midnight curfew goes into.
good luck with that. Good luck with that. If you could not handle a bunch of law-abiding citizens, and I know that there was a big shooting and stuff. It's going to happen when you get that many people around. But now you're going to tell a bunch of young, full of hormone kids that are just down to have sex and get drunk and do drugs that they can't be outside at midnight. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Because if you couldn't handle them when you were like letting them into your city, good luck trying to stop them after midnight.
to effect this Thursday until 6 in the morning and will run again at midnight Friday and midnight Saturday. In the area south of 23rd Street, down to South Point Drive from the Atlantic Ocean to Biscayne Bay.
You almost cringe when you look at, you see that gunfire was 10 feet away from an officer.
Where are the cops? You said he was 10 feet away, but I mean, how many officers do you have? What is the ratio from officers to people that are there? And I know that a lot of these cops have quit. They were fed up with the defund the police stuff, and I get it. But, I mean, you guys need to get out there and do what you need to do. I mean, Tina Bacon's revenge is, like, spinning a lot of truth. None of them care about any of us. They just care about power and the money. Been that way forever. Just a big show. And it is. And that's the thing, like I said, you can't... If you're, like, extreme one way or the other, now you got to be careful about not being extreme one way or the other because people will label you as being crazy.
It was on an ATV that had to dive off of his ATV in order to be kept behind it because he didn't know where the gunfire was coming from.
All right, hold on. Why is your force, your officers, I mean, if it's that crowded, why are they on ATVs? Do you want to know what... makes more sense. A lot of cops just walking the beat, walking through the crowd, getting in there, observing people. Maybe you would have been, if you would have had more officers in the crowd instead of on ATVs. And let's be honest, I support law enforcement, highway patrol, state officers, county officers, city officers. I support them. Let's be honest. We've all seen, holy crap, Tina Bacon's revenge coming up with the 20 spot. Man, Tina Bacon's revenge. Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. Let's be honest. We've all seen those fat cops that are out there. And I'm not saying they're not strong, but they're not catching people. And that's why a lot of them are on ATVs and stuff, because they probably get winded. 100% humidity in South Florida and stuff. So what I'm trying to say is do your job and kind of handle it. I know that your hands have been tied behind your back a little bit. You got to be more careful. Just hire more people.
We can't endure this anymore.
Mr. Mayor, what do you say to people who say, we've heard this year after year after year, it's a reactionary move by the city and the police?
Politicians hate this. Politicians hate being, like, questioned.
Department, things keep happening and they react this way every year at the same time, and nothing changes.
We haven't been able to figure out how to stop spring break from coming. It's very hard to...
Wait a minute. Once again, I am not anti-law enforcement. But why is the mayor not fired that guy already? He's giving excuses. He's giving excuses that, oh, well, we haven't figured a way to get spring break out of Miami. You want to know what the politicians are not going to like down in South Florida? When the businesses, the people that donated to their re-election campaigns and stuff, aren't making any money because they don't have spring break anymore. That guy, who is that guy, by the way? Is he the sheriff or is he the city cop of Miami?
We haven't been able to figure out how to stop spring break from coming. It's very.
So instead of worrying about stopping the criminals, you're worried about stopping spring break, which makes the city of Miami a lot of money.
Very hard to deter idiots and criminals.
Miami Beach.
Oh, motherfucker. You know what? The story was, like, already over. Tina Bacon's revenge, a lot of money. And even if it's not their biggest event, after going through a pandemic and a lot of businesses being shut down, I know if I was a business owner in downtown Miami, that I would be absolutely furious that they're trying to get away with spring break because it's too much of a hassle for them. Too much work. Let's just get rid of the event that brings a lot of money in. And Daytona's done that. I mean, look, you have Bike Week, which is like a whole week. Then you have, that made me sound dumb as hell. You got Bike Week, that's a week long. I'm such a dumbass. And then you got the Speed Week. You used to have Spring Break, and then you even had Black College Reunion. All right, so Daytona was already mad about a bunch of white kids partying it up. What do you think that a bunch of people in Daytona were going to feel about a bunch of minorities partying it up and being just as rowdy as the white people are? Maybe even less. They ran those people out of there. I don't understand why people don't talk about that more. Anyways, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Don't forget, tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Thursday night, 8 p.m., I want to thank everybody that listened to tonight's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.